clean start. You know, we wake up on Christmas Day, we look forward to gifts, to presents, the wonderful presents all beautifully wrapped, beautifully presented. The excitement as we pull on the paper, ripping the ribbons and ripping the wrapping off the presents to see what it is that is hidden underneath. There's a real joy and excitement in that. Apprehension as the wrapping comes off. What is it? What have they got for me? Is it what I've always wanted? A precious gift. One that's going to be really useful or one that will have real sentimental value. Imagine this. As the wrapping comes off, you see a corner. And you think, hold on a second. I'm not sure this is what I really wanted. A bit more slowly and apprehensively, the paper is removed. Nervous, because what looked at first like it was a wonderful gift, all beautifully wrapped, but as that paper comes off, it looks, well, it's less joyful. Looks like something you wouldn't really shout out about. In fact, when you sit back and think about it, not only is it something which isn't exciting and joyous, it is something much worse. It is pure offensive. It is utterly abhorrent. It is outrageous. It is derogatory. It is disrespectful. It is provocative. What sort of a gift is this to give to someone special like me? See, as we look at Christmas, we have such an expectation of joy and happiness. And this Advent season, we've been looking at this theme of rescuing Christmas alongside this little book by Carl Lapperton. Some of you love Christmas, the build-up to it. Wonderful time of year. It's exciting. For others, Christmas just can't be got over fast enough. And last week we looked at the first of two gifts, the gold and frankincense that the Magi brought. This week we're looking at the third gift of myrrh. And there are three ideas that I want to unpack as we look at that this morning. First of all, an offensive gift. Then secondly, a deep clean. And then thirdly, the joy of being clean. So let's first of all look at an offensive gift. And when we think of the Christmas story, we are accustomed to a pretty happy Christmas card picture. One which has been built up by tradition over the centuries. Gold, a gift fit for a king. Frankincense, a gift that was used in worship. Myrrh, on the other hand, it's a bit more of a conundrum. Myrrh comes from a tree. It's just like frankincense in that sense. It is a gum resin. It was gathered by tapping the trees, with the resin hardening once it comes into contact with the air, and it forms those little small globules or tears, as some they're sometimes called. Again, just like frankincense, myrrh trees, they come from the same part of the world, Southern Arabia and Somaliland. Myrrh, like frankincense, was also used as an incense, but to a much lesser extent. In Assyria, it was actually placed at the head of a patient's bed to fumigate the bedchamber. I could have done with it last night. In Esther 2, we read that it was used as part of a six-month series of beauty treatments for a potential queen in the Persian courts. We know it was used medically and was offered to Jesus as a mixture of myrrh and wine when he was on the cross, because it had that painkiller effect, reduce the pain for a man dying on a cross. But Jesus refused it. It was used to make poultices. It was prescribed for eye, ear, and nose ailments. It was used as part of a mouthwash. It was used for all sorts of other medical treatments that we really don't need to go into here, but suffice to say, it was not being prescribed in these circumstances for anything pleasant. Another main use of it was in the preparation of a dead body. John 19, verses 39 and 40. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish custom, burial customs. Here we have in this passage these strange men, Magi. They've travelled such a long, long distance, going first to Herod in Jerusalem before they come and find Jesus in Bethlehem. And they bring a gift which, among other things, could be used to give pain relief to a person hanging on a cross. Or it could be used to embalm a dead body. We don't know how Mary and Joseph reacted to this gift, or indeed any of the others. Were they horrified? Did they think that this is a strange gift to give as an act of worship to the baby Jesus? Did Mary and Joseph think that it was a seriously offensive gift to give? We don't know. But we can be relatively certain that both Mary and Joseph were well aware of how this gift could be used. We also know that from Luke 2 that Mary thought carefully. After the shepherds had visited, we read in verse 19 that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then further on in chapter 2 of Luke, after they have taken Jesus to Jerusalem for the Passover festival when he was 12 years old, and on their way back they suddenly realize, hold on, Jesus isn't with us. They go back and they find him with the rabbis and the teachers. When his parents challenge him about this, Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Did Mary, 30-odd years later, when she was standing weeping at the foot of a cross where her son Jesus was being crucified, did she then, in the days to follow, think of this strange gift, perhaps a gift that she had considered offensive? Did myrrh seem like an offensive gift to her? However, while in some fronts this might have seemed like an offensive gift, actually it was a perfectly offensive gift because it points to the purpose of Christ. Christ didn't just come to give us a pretty story at this time of year. Christ came because he had to die. And that is a gift which is perfectly offensive. At Christmas, we want to think of the gifts as nice, warm, lovely gifts. But the myrrh may not have been quite as nice as we would like. Just as what Christ had to endure in his life was offensive. For some people, the gift of Christ is offensive. They don't want to hear it. They believe they don't need any help. They are fine on their own. For them, Jesus is quite simply offensive. You see, this leads me to the second idea, a deep clean. My car was stinking dirty. It was utterly filthy, both inside and outside. I washed it yesterday evening just to make sure that it was a bit better for coming here today. But as you know, you can't keep your car clean on the roads at the minute. Inside, I think it needs fumigated. In fact, one night during the week, a particular person in the congregation jumped into my car, which I had got washed that day, just in case I had to give them a lift. And it looked okay on the outside. And then within about 30 seconds, they very quickly jumped out again into someone else's car. They claimed it was because I coughed, but I reckon it was because my car was filthy. You see, my car needs a really good deep clean, both inside and outside. My car looked all right from the outside, but that other night, inside it, it was a disaster zone. It was only going to be truly clean when it was clean on the inside as well. As Jesus grew up, Mary pondered things about Jesus. Why did he wait behind at the temple when he was 12 years old, chatting to those rabbis and teachers? He was in his element. Many people wondered why did this man Jesus go on to do strange things when he got older? Like talk with people that other Jews would cross the road to avoid. Why on earth did he talk with those awful Samaritan people? Most people, most Jews, whenever they were travelling from north to south, they would go right around Samaria just to avoid the Samaritans. Not Jesus. To make matters worse, why did he talk to women? They had no place in society. And worst of all, why did he treat with dignity and respect a Samaritan woman? Why did Jesus go out and meet and talk with people that were kicked out of normal society? People who were unclean. People whose bodies were wrought with leprosy. Not only did they have their bodies physically riddled with this disease, but they were outcasts. The disease was regarded as a punishment from God. And so they couldn't go to the temple. And that, of course, is where God was located. In the temple in Jerusalem. The one place those people needed to go, and yet they couldn't go. They were separated from God. But that didn't stop Jesus going to them, the lepers. And when Jesus came down from the mountain at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, a leper came to him. Matthew 8 verses 2 and 3. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleaned of his leprosy. This man somehow knew that Jesus could clean him. Jesus touched him. And he was cured. He was clean, both inside and out. You know, for Jesus to touch this leper, that made him unclean in the eyes of the law with the rabbis. You know, just as with that parable of the Good Samaritan, where touching the dead body or being near it would have made the priest and the Levite unclean, and so they crossed the road to avoid him. To be ceremonially clean, that was essential to take part in normal society. And yet here was Jesus, enabling lepers, people who were ceremonially unclean, enabling Samaritan women, Samaritans, to be clean. He was enabling them to come and worship God. He restored them both physically and spiritually so that they could be part of society, so that they could worship God and go to the temple. See, as Jesus went to the cross, he did so that we are clean. That we are clean inside out. What is inside us? That sin that permeates all of us. Well, that was cleaned, that was washed away when Christ died on the cross. You know, for some this morning, you know you still need to have that deep clean. For some of you this morning, you have heard many, many times, but you haven't, as the leper did, actually asked Jesus to touch you and to clean you. I want to challenge you this morning to do that today. Ask Jesus to clean you inside, to give you that clean start. If you're not sure how or what, go and talk to Bobby or to me or to one of the elders. That is what Christmas is about. What a gift that would be for us as a fellowship to know that one more person this Christmas season has become a disciple for Christ. That brings me to the short final thought of the joy of being clean. When we have a clean start, there is a joy to being clean on the inside, for the sin to have been washed away. King David, he committed that act of adultery with Bathsheba, and he was called out by the prophet Nathan. And we have Psalm 51, which is a psalm of David that speaks of this. And we read in verses 1 and 2, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." And then verses 7 and 8, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice." There is a joy that we can have, regardless of all of the circumstances in our life, when we know that Christ has cleaned us, that we have been deep cleaned. We have an assurance. That's why Jesus was born in humble beginnings. He received gifts from magi, strange as that gift of myrrh might have been. Myrrh that one day would be offered to Jesus on the cross, that would be one day used to embalm his dead body. But through his death and resurrection, we can have our spirit, our soul can be cleaned. We have this promise in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city." Even if that gift of myrrh was offensive to Mary, or if she considered it offensive, what does it say in verse 10 of chapter 2 in that passage in Matthew? Well, in the NIV, it is the Magi. They were overjoyed. In the ESV, it says, "They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." This Christmas joy that we can have goes to great lengths. This is a good news for all people. It was, still is, for kings and queens. It was for wise men, it was for shepherds. It's for accountants, it's for doctors, it's for teachers, it's for farmers, it's for ministers. It is for civil servants, it is for butchers and bakers. It is for both Jew and Gentile. It is for people of all colours. This joy of Christmas goes deeper than every fear, grief, pain, sorrow that we know or that we can imagine. There's a great joy in Christ because it cannot be extinguished. It wasn't extinguished when Christ died on the cross. It cannot ever be extinguished. It's a joy which is, it's too high, it's too long, it is too deep, even for death itself. And the joy we have is that, as that verse in Revelation said, we have the right to the tree of life. It's a joy to the end of the age. for eternity. It defeats every grief, eliminates every fear. So even if that myrrh was offensive, we have a joy that is never ending. This Christmas, let's rescue Christmas. Whether we love this time of year or we struggle with it, let us rejoice and know the joy and the purpose of why that baby Jesus received those gifts, including a perfectly offensive gift of myrrh. Let us rejoice. Let us know the joy and purpose of why Christ came. And so as we sing our closing praise now, let us consider and think carefully of the last two verses in particular. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls still will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us. Our Lord, Emmanuel, God be with us.